Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, Jesus sounds like a big jerk here. Can we just be honest about that? We're used to hearing stories about him calling people to follow, but in this text, when people want to follow him, he basically turns them away. What? He tells one person that if he wants to follow, he'll basically be homeless. He tells another guy who wants to go bury his father to let the dead bury their own dead, whatever that means. And he tells a third person who wants to just say goodbye to his family first that if he does that, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Really? What is going on here? It seems like either Jesus is now giving us mixed signals about discipleship, and if that's the case, then why? Or something else is happening. Well, since we trust that Jesus knows what he's doing, it has to be the latter. So what's going on? And why should it matter for us? Well, as for what's going on, there are a few possibilities here. First, we could say that Jesus is completely serious. True discipleship means a 100% commitment to Jesus. Nothing else matters. We have to give up our homes and our responsibilities and even our families in order to follow him. And throughout the history of the church, some people have done just that. Think about monks and nuns, right? They gave up lots of things to follow him. They took vows of poverty and chastity and obedience. They took devotion to Jesus to an extreme. And even though that's really commendable, I doubt that many people today are called to the monastic life. I mean, anybody here feel the call to forsake everything and live in a monastery somewhere? Yeah. Didn't think so. I know I'm not. So that approach doesn't really work. At least not for most of us. So a second way of reading this text says that it's just one more case of hyperbole in the Bible. It's just an exaggeration about how Jesus wants us to love him more than our families and other commitments. Now that means that we can still sleep in our own beds, we can still mourn at funerals, we can still have our families, but Jesus should come first. Okay, that's understandable. A lot of people go for that. But the problem here is that even though we should love Jesus more, we often don't. Jesus becomes just one more thing we have to juggle in our already busy lives. But of course, Jesus shouldn't just be another thing on our to-do list. Because then the pendulum could swing the other direction. Right? If living the monastic life means giving Jesus 100%, then people who hear this as hyperbole could end up giving Jesus 0%. If we take the punch out of this scene, then maybe we don't take discipleship seriously enough anyway. Isn't this why Christians are often called hypocrites? Because we say we love Jesus, but then we don't really show that love in our lives? Right? So that doesn't work. A third way says that maybe it's somewhere in the middle. If we can't do 100% and we shouldn't do 0%, then what percentage in the middle is more appropriate? What fraction of our lives is more doable when it comes to following Jesus? Is it 51%, so it's a majority? Is it 10%, like tithing for an offering? Is it 0.6%, which is just 1 hour out of the 168 hours you get every week? Is it 0.1%, which is just 1 hour of worship once a month? With this way of thinking, some people see following Jesus as if it were a pass-fail course. Right? Like, what's the minimum I need to do to get a passing grade? I want to say I'm Christian, but I still want to, you know, have fun in life. So what's the minimum I've got to do? Well, obviously, this approach doesn't work because Jesus doesn't want us to give just the bare minimum. So then what do we do with this text? How do we take it seriously while not necessarily committing ourselves to a monastic life? How do we take care of our other responsibilities while also following Jesus? How do we strike a balance between our spiritual lives and the rest of our lives? Therein lies the problem. We like to compartmentalize different areas of our lives, thinking that this part of my life is separate from this other part. Right? This is my family life. This is my social life. This is my financial life. This is my love life. This is my spiritual life. We have all these little boxes, and we don't want them to mix. I mean, think about why it's so weird for kids to see teachers outside of school. Right? Teachers belong in the school box, not the out shopping at the store box. Adults do the same thing. We try to keep different parts of our lives separate. Like when you clock out at the end of the day, you want to move from work life to family life. Or think about the old Seinfeld episode where George talked about how he was fun George with Jerry, but then relationship George when he was dating. And when the two meet, it's worlds collide. Because we have all these separate little aspects of our lives, then we have to figure out a ranking of what's more important. This is called having priorities, right? Is my family life more important than my work life? We might say so, but does the amount of time we spend at work show the opposite? Or is my financial life more important than my love life? Well, how many people get married for money instead of for love? Is my hobby more important than my family? Well, how many people refuse to put their phones down when a family member is talking to them? We make choices about priorities all the time. We think X is more important than Y, so that's where we give our money, our time, and our attention. And so when we think this way, it becomes really easy to ask, how can I strike the balance between my spiritual life and the rest of my life? And if we notice that we haven't put Jesus first, then maybe we might feel a little guilty about that. But then again, plenty of people today don't feel guilty about that at all. The problem here, my friends, is not that we don't make following Jesus a priority. The problem is thinking that our life of discipleship is just one more thing on our priorities list. But it's not. The life of discipleship is not separate from the other parts of your life. There is no need to balance your spiritual life with the rest of your life. Because they're the same thing. Right? You don't stop being you when you come here to worship on Sunday morning. You also don't stop following Jesus when you leave here on Sunday morning. You live out your discipleship at work and at home, with your finances, when you volunteer, when you show love to others, when you deal with people who get on your nerves, everywhere. It encompasses all of your life. It is your life. We hear this even when we celebrate Holy Communion. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you. At all times and in all places. That's where our lives of discipleship take place. Not just here on Sunday morning. Notice in this gospel reading that the people who wanted to follow Jesus said things like, I'll follow you, but first let me do this other thing that's more important. You don't get to follow Jesus after you get other stuff done. If you think that's how following discipleship works, then you've missed the point. You follow Jesus in the midst of doing that stuff. Which is fine, and maybe it makes sense, but what's it actually look like? How can we be disciples in our real lives? How do we give Jesus 100% while still taking care of all of our other responsibilities? Well, you show that devotion when you don't think some product on a TV commercial is going to give you a wonderful life. You show it when you take a stand on some important issue as a person of faith, even though everyone else wants you to sit down and shut up. You show it when you don't let other people's likes and dislikes decide your actions. You show it when you refuse to give in to temptation, even if nobody else is watching you. You show it when you actually love your neighbors who are different from you and who disagree with you. You show it when you don't let money control all of your choices. You show it when you're willing to sacrifice what you want for the good of another. You show it when you don't give something to someone else because it would hurt their relationship with God. You show it when you're willing to be a fool for Christ in the eyes of the world. You show it in these ways and so many more. If you're a disciple, then you're a disciple at all times and in all places, in every decision you make. But of course, we often fail at this. We are sinful people, after all. We will never be perfect disciples. Even though we fail, though, Jesus is still focused. At the start of this reading, we hear that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's where the cross is. Jesus went to the cross to die for you. And yes, I know you've heard that before, but it is still incredible news. You who are not the best disciple, you who get distracted by the world, you who want to make Jesus just another thing to check off your list, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He is with you. And he brings you to new life. Because of that, we follow him, knowing that it is a hard life. But even when we fail at being committed to him, he never fails at being committed to us. He always gives us another chance. Even though following him is hard, we know that we're following him. We are not doing this alone, my friends. He goes with us and he goes ahead of us. In fact, as we follow Jesus to the cross and to our death, we also follow him out of the tomb and into new life. Because of Jesus, the old has passed away and the new has come. No longer is life about boxes or priorities or percentages. Instead, it's all about Jesus. He is deeply committed to us. He is deeply committed to you. He will never lead us astray. And because of that, nothing else in the world matters. Yes, you can sleep in your bed at night. You can go to funerals. You can love your family. But discipleship happens all the time. That is deadly serious, extremely hyperbolic, and wonderfully good news all at once. Jesus is with you, Jesus is for you, and Jesus is leading you. That's who we follow. So rise up, O saints of God. Let's go. In the name of the one who's serious about his love for us and serious about the call to follow, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.